in Christ realities. Getting blessed by this? Getting blessed by this? In Christ reality. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's good to know where you are. It's good to know who you are. It's good to know what you are. And it's good to know what you have. Praise the Lord. Right? Because it's important to understand. I think I taught something last year, or 2 years ago, where we are in Christ. Remember that? Huh? Where we are in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he, the man in Christ, anybody in Christ here? I didn't see any hand. Anybody in Christ here? That brother is not in Christ. Anybody in Christ here? Come on. Praise the Lord. All right. That man in Christ is a new creation. Praise the Lord. It says, all things are passed away. Behold, it says, all things are become new. All things are, not all things shall. All things are passed away. It says, all things are become new. You know, it says, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now watch that. It says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Before we go there, just put your hands in there and then go to Philemon 6. Philemon 6. Praise God. Philemon is the book before Hebrews and after Titus. It says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement or the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. In other words, you need to acknowledge those things that are in you in Christ. To acknowledge there means to have a precise understanding, to talk about it, to think about it, to act upon it. Praise the Lord. To talk about it, to think about it, to act upon it. That's how you acknowledge. It's not just to accept it. It is to actually embrace it and make a practice of it. Understand it. It is every good thing that is in you in Christ. Sometimes we spend our lives finding out what is not in Christ. You know, we find out what is not in Christ. Some folks are just like that. There was a time in the body of Christ, there was this teaching, I don't know whether it's still around, about temperaments. And they tell you, you have different temperaments. They call it, there was a book out there called Spirit Control Temperament. Did it before? Heard about it before? Yeah. I didn't tell you who it was, I just mentioned the name, right? And you go, that you are choleric. And some folks accepted those things about themselves. They say, you are melancholic. You are sanguine. What else do you have? You are phlegmatic. And then the summary is that you are carnal. Right? Just say you are carnal. Because people now took it as an excuse to act in a particular way besides who they were in Christ. Alright? In Christ Jesus, you have the divine nature. You have the life and the light of God, so you got no excuse to act badly. You got no excuse to act badly. Praise God. Hallelujah. In fact, self-control, you know, and it's a spirit-controlled temperament. That is, the spirit now controls your temperament. Yeah, some tautology and so there's some confusion. Because the spirit is your spirit. How come your spirit, your nature now controls your nature? That sounds so uninteresting. Because the fruit of your spirit is self-control. That means your spirit has the ability to control itself on its own. Your spirit is not trying to control another. See, if your spirit has if you have a nature that is different from the Holy Spirit, then you are not born again. See, but if you're born again, your nature is the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9. It says, you are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anybody has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of it. In verse 10, it says, Christ is in you, and the body is dead to sin, the spirit is life to righteousness. In verse 11, it says, the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. He that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwells in you. You know, in verse 12, it says, if we through the workings of the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. In verse 14, it now says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In verse 15, it says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, hereby we cry, Abba, Father. In verse 16, it says, the Spirit bears with our spirit that we are the children of God. So you cannot say that you have another nature outside the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the nature of the believer. 1 Corinthians 6 and 17, it says, you are joined together with the Lord and you are one spirit with Him. Praise God, say, I'm one spirit with God. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 4, it tells us that, it says, He has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us into glory and virtue. He said, by these great and precious promises, that we might be partakers of the divine nature, those that have escaped the corruption that is in this world through law. See, I'm a partaker of the divine nature. As the Father has life in Himself, so as the Son has life, even the Son has life in Himself. John 5, 26. Is that not true? Praise God. He that has the Son has the life. So how come you're thinking you have another nature besides the nature of Jesus? Your nature is the nature of Jesus. So except you say Jesus is choleric, is sanguine, is melancholic. That's not Jesus Christ. He's seated on the throne of God. No, that's your Jesus. Personal Jesus. I think the Igbos call it Che. Praise God. That's a personal God. So I've got the nature of God. So you're not choleric, you're a child of God. If you now act like a choleric, if you now act like a sanguine, it's because you fail to recognize who you are. You're acting beside yourself. That's not who you are. See, that fellow who got annoyed and just blew the lid and said very corrupt things out of his mouth, that's not you. That's what the world turns you to in your action. But in Christ, you're a new creation. You got the life of God. That's what Paul was telling the Corinthian church. He said, look, guys, aren't you born again? Why are you acting like mere men? Why are you acting like ordinary men? Like men without the Spirit. That's the point. So folks went to study things like choleric and sanguine. I remember, you know, back then, one psychologist now said, they said, that theory is even outdated. So I wonder, I said, whether it's outdated or updated or invalidated is not true concerning me. Praise God. My mirror is the Word. Okay? Say, my mirror is the Word. That's how you know who you are. James 1:22 from 17 said, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, down from the Father of light, whom there was very much there, shadow of turning. Verse 18, of his own will begat he us by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of apostle of his creature. Verse 19, therefore, beloved brethren, be swift to hear, be slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not walk, righteousness of God. Verse 20, verse 21. He says, laying apart all food and superfluous, not less, receive the weakness, the ingratitude that is able to save the soul. Verse 22, be ye dwellers of the word, not hear us, only speak our own self. Verse 23, if any be hear the words, like unto man, looks into natural face in the mirror, straight away, you know, go at his way, forgetting the manner of man he was. But whoso looks in the perfect law of liberty, and does not forget, alright? Continues to look therein, not being a forgetful whoever do of the work, the same man is blessed in his deed. Praise God. Hallelujah. So what's your mirror? The Word. You look into the Word. Not a psychology textbook. Say, I'm what the Word says I am. Oh, say that again. Say, I'm what the Word says I am. I have what the Word says I have. So don't just use that. I'm human now. No, no, you are a new creature. Why do you do a doctor like that? I'm human. No, you're a new creature. Ephesians 4 says you are put on the new man which after God. Praise God. Put on the new man, Ephesians 4:24, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we are after God. We are in the order of that creation. Ephesians 5:1. It says, be ye imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love. Praise the Lord. 1 John 4, it says God is love. Remember that? If God is love and you are a child of God, that means you're a child of a love God. You've got to behave like Him. You've got His DNA. Amen? 1 John 3:9 says, the seed of God is in you. That word seed of God in the Greek is the word sperma. Where you have the word sperm, seed, genes. You got the genes of God in you. Praise God. You can't say I'm choleric. You're not choleric. You are a child of God. You are Christocentric. Hallelujah. You are zoic. Amen. You're not melancholy. You are holy in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I'm what the world says I am. I have what the world says I have. Glory to God. If you discover you're sanguine, then get the word of God into your mind. So I can chase away the sanguinity out of your life. Get back to 2 Corinthians 5. Let's see something now. You there? Are you in church this morning? Are you in church this morning? Alright. Now watch this. It says in verse 16, I want to take note of this. Wherefore, 2 Corinthians 5, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Watch this. Yes, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Notice that it says, though we have known. Though we have known Christ after the flesh. Now, let me explain that to you in detail, because sometimes when you lose out those kind of facts, you may not understand what he said in the next verse. It says, though we have known Christ after the flesh. What's he talking about? Now, let me talk about the speaker, Paul. There is no record that Paul ever met Jesus in the four Gospels. Are you with me? There's no record. And there's no record that the church at Corinth, which is a Gentile nation, ever met Jesus, because Jesus never traveled outside Israel. So what does he mean by though we have known Christ after the flesh? Are you following me here? Because if you don't understand that statement, verse 17 will not be exact in your understanding. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, what does it mean we have known Christ after the flesh? Paul never met him. I didn't. You sure didn't. The church at Corinth, most likely, all of them did not. So what did he mean by, or what does he mean by, because the present tense reality, what does he mean by, though we have known Christ after the flesh? And that takes me back to what I've been sharing with you about the Christ of the four Gospels. That's Christ after the flesh. That is from a human point of view. From a human account. Though we have known Christ from a human account. That knowledge also is revelation anyway. We have known Christ from a human account. He said, but now we do not know him like that anymore. We don't know Christ after the flesh. Praise the Lord. I've been going on Crusades for many years, for 20 years, and traveled into different villages and towns and cities across the nation and across Africa. Had wonderful experiences, great ones. I've had some not too wonderful experiences, all put together, you know. And I know that sometimes we used to show what we call the Jesus film. And the Jesus film will show us, and it's a wonderful film, and I could show them today, show them to people, to get the attention, to get them to hear the gospel. So they watch the Jesus film, you know that. There was a Robert Powell one, but they changed that to someone else who looks more like a Christian. You know, and Jesus, long hair, nice guy. You understand? He's not so fussy. Seen that film before? Lovely fellow. And he talks like this, Nicodemus. Verily, verily. He speaks King James. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man be born again. And, you know, and let me tell you, sometimes that's the idea of Jesus we still have today in our minds. You know, and that's why some of us have seen visions of Jesus. It's not really Jesus that you saw. It's just a deja vu of a film you had seen before. Excuse me. Just have to say that. And, you know, we carry that. So we show those films and I like them. But it's not ideal to show those films to the church. Because every time we try to have those pictorial descriptions of Jesus, we mislead people. We mislead people. Because that's not what the Christian needs to know about Jesus. Amen. That's not what he needs to know. Praise the Lord. I will show stuff like that. And people have that at the back of their minds. In fact, today, you still find people pray, and they're praying, and they're saying, you want to pray? And they say, dear Lord. They're talking to Jesus in prayer. There's no scripture to talk to Jesus in prayer, because Jesus died so that you can talk to the Father on your own. You know, talk to him. See, many people don't know. I just said that out of the blues. I don't know how that came, but I said it. It's not part of what I wanted to say, but I'm saying it now. You learned that. He said, you will talk to the Father in my name. Right? Is that what it said? John 16:23. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Is that true? Not talk to me and then I'll talk to the Father. Is that what he said? So he said, Father Lord. You say Father Lord too? What's Father Lord? Tell us, who is that? Who is Father Lord? Father Lord. You never find anybody like that in the entire Bible called Father Lord. There's nobody like that. There is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Alright? Two different people. TSKS. Nobody knows DSKS, but I heard about that. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't have Father Lord. There's one Father and one Lord. Is that not true? Ephesians 4:4-5. One Father, one Lord, one body, one Spirit, one baptism, one God for all and through all, walks in you all. Amen. Ephesians 4:4-5. Praise God. So, you see, don't mix things up in your mind. Don't mix things up in your mind. Now, that's not where I'm going to. Now, there is Jesus in the four Gospels. So, say, Pastor, you're on this again. Yep, because you need to understand. Jesus of the four Gospels that is accepted in children's church. Amen. My son asked me this morning, he said he wants a Bible with pictures. I said, I get it for you. It would be strange for you to ask for a Bible with pictures. Pictures of what? Of the Spirit. Have you discovered that all those folks that try to act Jesus top at a point, they can't go beyond. He died on the cross. The 3 days, they have nothing to show. What happened? Silence in heaven, silence on earth, time was closed. What happened? The third day they now show him all wise. Rabboni. And he walks away. They say, go in Jerusalem. It's like we end your power. And then he just goes up. Bye bye. The very important events drama cannot capture. The most important things cannot be acted in drama. It has to come by revelation. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Church, are you with me? Are you getting this? Alright, good. Now, look at something. So you get it. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Hallelujah. Month of April, I'm going to start the school of the Bible. Amen. And we're going to take some books of the Bible. Right. School of the Bible. School of the Bible. I suppose what we've been doing every service is not school of the Bible. You'll discover the difference when you come. Matthew 16. You there? Verse 13. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who the men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So Jesus turns to his disciples, his associates, and says, Who do people say that I am? Then he said this. He said, some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are John the Baptist. That means they've been putting their ears on the ground. Some say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Now the strangest of this revelation is John the Baptist's part. Because John the Baptist and Jesus met at the same time and everybody was beheaded. So I don't know how they would think that, I don't know how that could have been except in Nollywood movies, you know. But I don't know how that could have been possible, that Jesus and John the Baptist would say, but then people have different opinions. If you ask Christians, for instance, today, interestingly, and ask them, who is Jesus? You'll be stunned at things you're going to hear. You'll be shocked. But if you ask them, who is Beyonce? My mind, they have an epignosis. Say, who is Denzel Washington? A lot of kind of ladies say, I know him. Tell you the date of birth and all. Who is Jesus? He is Lord. How is he Lord? The Bible tells me so. Yeah. So he says, who do they think I am? And everybody gives them different impressions. That means from the flesh point of view, there will be a varied opinions of the person of Jesus. But look at 15. When I talked to them, shockingly, I didn't expect him to do this, but he did. Somebody, you guys, who do you think I am? Who do you say, pardon me, not think, who do you say that I am? And then immediately Judas went for the offering bag, said he's trying to count the offering. And then everybody just went away. And, you know, John didn't answer. John just said, I love this man. Said nothing. Because he just asked him, who do you say I am? Then Simon Peter got up. What did he say? He says, you are the Christ. Wonderful. The Son of the living God. You are the Christ. The Son of the living God. That's what he said. And verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, what's flesh and blood now? Eyes, right? Ears, the flesh, that's the natural ways of knowing things, has not revealed it unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And he goes to tell him, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I give unto the kings of the kingdom of heaven, whatsoever you shall bind on earth. So, he says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Now, who revealed that truth? The Father. What is it? You are the Christ. You are the anointed one. Right? The Son of the living God. Two things came out of that revelation. One, Jesus is the anointed one. Secondly, the Son of the living God. What do you mean, Son of the living God? That means he is the incarnate one. Alright? He's the incarnate one. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The light was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and darkness couldn't comprehend it. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came that he may bear witness of the light. It was not the light. The true light that lights every man that enters into this world. He came that he may bear witness of the light that all men may believe. In verse 10, he says that he came to the world. The world was made by him. The world did not know him. Verse 11, he came to his own. His own received him not. Verse 12, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13, which were born not of the will of flesh, not of blood, not of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, the word became flesh. Now watch that. And dwelt amongst us. And we beheld of only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, the incarnate Word is the Son of the living God. Is that correct? When you say the Son of the living God, you're saying the Word incarnate. What does that mean? The Word became flesh. Okay? That means the Word existed before. Then the Word took on flesh and dwelt among us. So, Peter's eyes was open to the fact that Jesus is the anointed of the Spirit. Isaiah 61 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Right? Also, he is the incarnate one. the Word became flesh. Because God spoken earlier on Isaiah 7:14, said, I'll show you a sign. The virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. His name shall be called what? Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Isaiah 9:7, it says, unto us a son of a child is born, unto us a son is given. So Peter's eyes were open to that fact of the scriptures. It wasn't something, revelation doesn't mean to know something different. It means for your eyes to be open to what is already there. Is that clear? So Peter's eyes was open to what is already, what is already. Jesus has been anointed of the Spirit. One, Jesus is the incarnate Word, the Word that became flesh. Let me see here, follow what I'm saying here now. Is that clear? So his eyes was open. Now watch this. That was what he needed to know then, because that was all that Jesus was. That was all that Jesus was then. So, but this revelation ought to be updated now. Because there's more things have happened since this point. He calls him the Son of the Living God. That's what he calls him. Now, go to Ephesians 1. Paul now prays for a different kind of revelation. Not the same as Peter got in Matthew 16. Ephesians chapter 1. Are you there? Please run there quickly. Ephesians 1. Praise God. By the way, this series, the first set of this series and the second service, Spirit of Faith, will be out in the second service. I ask that you get those materials. You need them now. And if you miss the healing school, we had healing school last week. I will try and get that across, get out for you on Sunday. You need to get those materials now. Amen. And listen to them in your car, in your room, and anywhere that you are. Praise the name of Jesus. I see that. Look at Paul's prayer, verse 16. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you when? In my prayers. Now, pay attention now. Can we take verse 17 and 18 and 19 together? Let's go. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Hold on. Now, who gave the revelation to Peter? Now, what was that revelation? You are what? The Christ, the Son of the Living God. Now, who is Paul praying to here? Same person? Same person. Okay, good. They give unto you what? The spirit of wisdom. Okay, verse 18. The eyes. Everybody now. The eyes. Now, can we replace the your to me? So that my. That makes some sense. Let's go. Let's start from 17 again. That the God of my Lord. Okay, let's take it again. Come on. The God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling. Hold on. My eyes are open to know what? Go on, let's go. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Now, you can say in the saints, that's you, right? In me. Now, is that the same thing as Peter got? Huh? I don't think so. Go on, 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward me who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. Is that what Peter got? Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Could Peter have ever had this kind of revelation? No. So go, 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but hallelujah. 22. And he had put all things under what? And gave him to be head over all things to where? Which is his body, the fullness. Is that clear now? So, the revelation in the four gospels is not a revelation of what? The epistles. Because when you come into the epistles, Jesus is referred to as the Son of God, but he is the firstborn from the dead. He is not the only begotten Son of God. He is the firstborn from the dead. Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good. To them who are called according to his purpose, who love God. Verse 29, for whom he did predestinate, to them he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he should be the firstborn among many brethren. Firstborn among many brethren. So Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. But you couldn't have said that in the four Gospels, because that only happened when he rose from the dead. So the revelation that God wants us to have today is not the revelation of Jesus in the four Gospels. Who is he? Who was he? No. It's the revelation of the work he accomplished. What he became when he died. What he became when he went to hell. When he went to the grave. What he became when he rose the third day. And what he became when he sat at the right hand of God. That's the revelation that we should desire. That's the revelation that we should receive. So that's what Paul said. We do not know Christ after the flesh. We don't know him after the flesh. We know him now by the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, Jesus told his disciples, he said, I have many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, John 16, verse 12 and 13. He will guide you into all truth. He says, he will show you what? Things to come. What were the things to come? He was about to die, right? He will be buried. Then he will be raised from the dead and will sit at the right hand of the Father. So the Spirit of God will show us those things. And then not just show us what happened. It will show us why it happened. It will show us how it happened. And then it will show us how it applies to your life. So that's a revelation that we seek today. How does his death apply to me? How does his burial apply to me? Does his resurrection apply to me? How does his sitting at the right hand of the Father today apply to me? That's why Paul goes further in chapter 2, Ephesians 2, just the prayer we read. It says, who you have been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. He says, who walked according to the course of this world, according to the spirit of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in time past, fully desires of the present of mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Say, but God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith great love as he loved us, he has quickened us together with Christ. See that? So your eyes will open to what? That work was done together, right, with Christ, by grace are you saved, and has made us to sit in the heavenlies in Christ. With Christ, in Christ. So, our eyes, the Spirit of God opens our mind to see, this is what Jesus did. This is how he did it. This is why he did it. Okay? After doing this, he now did this. Because he died. When he died, then he was buried. He went to hell 3 days. The base of the dead. He suffered for 3 days and three nights. Then he came out. When he came out, he rose from the dead, met Mary. Mary said, whoa, hugged him, said, Lord, my Rabboni, said, touch me not yet. Hold me not any longer. I go to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. John 20, 28. And Jesus now takes 20, 28 and 29. Now takes the blood, right? His blood, and goes to heaven. He goes to heaven like the high priest, who takes in the blood into the holiest of all. The first 3 days he wasn't in heaven, he went to hell. So he now is going to heaven. Third day. And he goes to heaven with the blood. That's where the blood was shed. The Bible says he now sprinkled the blood in the heavens. Amen. So when he did that, he now came back to the earth. Then redemption was fully accomplished. Now you can't know that in the four Gospels. You will have to come to the epistles and the Spirit of God will open your eyes to see step by step events of what Jesus did and how it applies to you. Praise God. So that's the revelation that we seek. And it's not the revelation of knowing who Jesus was. You know, somebody was saying this when he was preaching. And it was sounding very good. And he said, look, we need to know every word that Jesus said in the four Gospels. We need to follow him step by step. I said, to where? You know, read the four Gospels. I study from the four Gospels. I preach from the four Gospels, but I don't live in the four Gospels. I live in the epistles, the finished work of Jesus and the ongoing work of the Spirit by revelation, and then the work of the church. How can they stay in the Gospels? What for what? So your eyes be opened to know those three important events of human history. Praise the Lord. Say, so we've known Christ under the flesh. Now we know him no more. Is that clear to you now? Go back to 2 Corinthians 5. So where is Christ under the flesh? Huh? Now where is Christ by the Spirit? Thank you. Is that clear? Right? Verse 17. Okay, so in verse 16, though we have known Christ after the flesh, henceforth we know him me no more. So what do we know Christ as now? Help me. Help me now. Son of Mary. Jesus, you know what we call him? Jesus of Nazareth. Is this Jesus of Nazareth? Right? I love the man of Galilee. It's okay. For praise worship. It's accepted. Right? Jesus, there's also my Jesus of Nazareth. We've got the song now. So, we don't know him after the flesh. So how do we know him now? What does the Spirit reveal to us? He died. Why he died. How he died. Where he died. Then, right? To the right hand of the Father. So the Christ that should flood our minds is where? Huh? At where? Before Pilate? In the manger? In the temple? Raking for everybody? Voking for them? Is that the Christ? There's a voke? There's a voke? A voke for people. There's somebody we call vokies in this ministry. Don't bother to know what person is. Voke! You don't want to do that. What do we know? Christ, who has been raised from the dead, who has accomplished the redemptive task fully, who is Lord over everything, who has the keys of hell and death, right? Who has been raised above all principalities and power and might. Now, is that the story in the four Gospels? No. And might, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and God has given to him all authority, right? That's the Christ that we have. Now, also, the Christ that we have, you know, in John 10, let me roll this. Can I roll this? Can I roll this quickly? You know, in John 10:10, he says, I am come that you may have life and have it what? I've told you never quote it like that again. You still quoted it like that. I was waiting for you. Is it possible to have life more? What's having life more? Do you have more life than he has? What would you have been? Double life. It's a bad translation. Okay? Bad translation. I've explained that to you in many services. I'll do it again today. That will be what time? You know, sometimes if you don't listen to the word of God consistently enough, you're going to forget it. You're going to forget. I still study those God's word hours every day. Been doing it for 2 decades plus. That's the only way you can walk in it. Now, what did Jesus bring? Life. The life of God. Right? As the Father has life, so has he given the Son to have more life. Is that what it says? You will never find the word more life used in the entire Bible. That translation was very bad. It's a bad translation of that word. Now, what Jesus said in John 10:10, if you could turn there, he says, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you may have life. Right? Now, the word more abundantly in the Greek means you will be filled to the fullest. That's what he's saying. You will be filled to the fullest. The more abundant was referring to you, not the life. Notice the word IT, eat, is in italics. Check it. It's there. I don't have to open it. That's if you use King James. Right? My students? Is that correct? So you're year one. You know what I'm talking about. Year two folks who are there? King James? You only find italics where? In King James, right? I gave you the reasons yesterday, didn't I? Okay, let's go. Have you seen IT? Is it what? Huh? So take it away. I come that you may have. So stop that. He has come that we may have life. Life. Okay? And then finish it now. And what? Have more. Have more of what? I say, I've come that you may have more life. Why do you say, I come that you may have more life? Don't you get it? Let's take it again. Let's take some simple Bible construction. I've come that you may have life. So that means you didn't have life. Okay? So I give you life. And you may have it more. How does that sound? Does it sound reasonable? Uh-uh. Because the construction is, I've come that you may have life, and you will be abundant, filled to the fullest. You are the recipient. Is the more abundant is the effect of the life in you. Because the life is the life. You either have the life, you don't have the life. You don't have more of the life. And you see, every time you have eternal life, you have the life of God. John 3:16, John 6:47, John 5:26, John 5:24, 1 John 5:11, 1 John 5:12, 1 John 5:13. There's no more there. Are you with me? As some people, you know, they write John 10:10. They will now draw fruits. Seen that before? Fruits and bananas and oranges and say, this is, sorry, spiritual illiteracy. What do you say? Of his fullness have you received, right? John 1:12, John 1:16, grace for grace. Colossians 2:10. You are complete where? In him. That's what Jesus was saying. Come that you may have life. Now, that's not where I was going to. I was going to tell you that that life was not given in the four Gospels. He said, except the kind of wheat to fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. So he said, the Son of Man dies, that's when he's going to give life. So life came when Jesus died. That's why I was saying his death is my life. It's his death that gives us life. So nobody received the life in the four Gospels. Is that very clear? Good. So, the most important events to us that we need to study, understand, and our eyes are opened unto are the events of the 3 days and the 3 nights, the events of what happened after, and what Jesus is doing today at the right under the Father for us. Praise the Lord. Is that clear to anybody here? That's the revelation that we ought to seek. Now, I wrote something here. As people say things like, I wish I was. You know, one day I was in the service and I asked a question. Who can mention the disciples of Jesus? People rose up and said, talk. Oh, that guy said, Bartholomew, Matthew, then John, Peter, Thomas. And they were talking. So I said, Judas. And they were done. I said, who else? 12, sir. What about you? Me too. Can you imagine? You know CRK, not the Word of God. That's CRK. Say who is the Son of God? First of all, say me. They will say, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. He's wondering why you are saying that. Because he should not die in vain. Who is the Son of God? Say, I am. Praise God. Who is a disciple of Jesus? Number one, don't be humble and forced. If you want to count everybody before you, you will not be alive when you are through. Are you following what I'm saying? And what the word says I am. Someone said this before. Okay, Copeland. He said, humility is to accept what God says about you. Pride is to reject it. See, pride is to say, I won't share His glory. You will never share your glory with anybody. Oh, Almighty God. That is, as if he's holding the thing. If you touch my glory, I will deal with you. You are the Lord, that is your name. You will never. Did you read here last week? It said, the glory that you have given to me, have I given to them? Is that not true? You will never share your glory with anybody. Almighty God, that is your name. You know, you won't call him Father. The Almighty God. What everybody calls him, the Muslims, everybody, the Almighty God. What about Father? Amen. He has given His glory to us in Christ Jesus. Is that not true? Colossians 1:20 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The riches of what? His glory of His inheritance in the saints. We read it now. Is that not glory? He has called us unto glory and to what? Whose glory? His glory. How can you never share your glory with anybody? Now, I understand what we probably could mean is, look, is God, and we can't worship anyone like God. He's God. Everything came from Him. He's our Father. He's our God. Yes. But have an understanding when you're singing that God has actually given His glory to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Shared this in one camp meeting in 1995. And the leaders were not happy. They said, I should come and preach on eternal life. And they were having a prophetic dimension to it. Futuristic eternal life. So I got on the pulpit. And the very first night was like a healing service. And I ministered to the sick. And they liked it so much. They said, wow. They were looking forward to tomorrow morning, sir. We are going to have a blessed time. Because that's a teaching session. Nobody had positive Jesus' miracles. But His doctrine was just the problem. Same with Paul. So when I was done, next morning, I began to share on eternal life. And I told everybody in the congregation, eternal life is your possession now. And the leaders didn't like it. They were wondering. And they were checking it was there. So you have. I said, what is have? How was it have? What do you have? Have. They were boiling. I didn't write it. My name is not Paul, not John. Not you, not even Jesus. Amen. When I was done, put the offering in the bag and say, thank you, sir. God increased your ministry. Just give me the envelope. I say, actually, I don't take this. I give back to you. I say, okay. They didn't say, no, sir. You know, so they say, no, sir. You just say, thank you. He just walked away. You know. And then I met someone who had met the pastor, and they said, how was the program? He said, yes. What he preached was true. But he didn't have to preach it in our church. And those things can confuse people. How? So told me, yes, but say, these things you are teaching. He said, he's for senior believers. The way you are preaching like this, he said, the members of the church, they will start feeling big towards their pastor. And I asked him a question. I said, the person who wrote the letter, they write classified. He said, no. Something that is sold on the streets. Everywhere. The Bible is sold everywhere. How are you blaming me for making it available to everybody? I'm not the one. So don't blame me. It was written so that it can be read. Read and understood. Can you say amen? Alright. So, Jesus died to give life. But there was no life until He died. So, the revelation that we get today is the revelation of, I was saying something, yep. You know, some folks say, I wish I was in with Jesus. In those 33 and a half years, and we're walking together. And we're walking together. You know, as he's talking, I'm listening. Ah, Jesus, what's wrong with you? Amen. See, we have Christ today. Amen. In fact, the Bible says we are in him. The Bible says he is in us. How can you desire to be walking with him? I want to walk with you, Lord. To where? He's in you, praise God. I want to walk with you. If I can walk with you, God. Oh, Enoch walked with God. And he was no more. I want to walk with you. And the Bible says he never received the promises. Amen. Enoch without us wasn't made perfect. God provided something better for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. We don't walk with him, he walks in us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, it's a revelation that you seek. You seek the revelation to know Jesus in the four gospels. Paul is know the Jesus that rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Are you in church? Watch this now. The same power that was with Jesus in those 3 days and when he rose from the dead is available now. Ephesians 1:19. Same power, same ability. So the new creation has as much power, has as much ability, and the presence of God as Jesus does. By identification, we are found in Christ. We are found in Christ. We are found in Christ. Say, I am in him. And he is in me. You know, people don't have a problem to religiously say that. There's this song. I don't know whether you know the song. I am wonderfully made. No song. I am fearfully made. I belong to God. I resemble him. I am fearfully made. I am wonderfully made. I used to lead praise worship years ago. I belong to God. I resemble him. That is why the devil trembles when I hear me singing. I am meaning. And Jesus is in me. That is why the devil trembles when he hears me singing. And when he sees somebody possessed, that person is possessed too. He's possessed. Because you are just saying it religiously. Imagine if Jesus would see somebody possessed and say, that person is possessed. Eh? Should be careful of sisters. This sister is nowadays. That person is possessed. Hey, Jake. Jesus. That's Jesus talking. Jesus said, Jesus. Hey. Hello. See, bro, but Matthias. We have to be prayerful. Say, let's cast at the cast what? Wait now. Cast. Oh. Have you prayed? Jesus is the one talking. Let's go and fast. When we fast, then we go with plenty of oil. And holy water. That's not Jesus. Praise God. Amen. He walks in us. Hallelujah. We are in him. Amen. We are in him justified. He is in us glorified. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, one day, some folks were trying to cast out a demon. And then, they were saying, come out! And you see all sorts of drama. Hey, you will know today, Satan. Satan! Who saw you? When do you want to show him? I said, what's going on here? I want to deal with the devil. Leave me there for a while. Said, in the name of Jesus, come out! And that was it. Hey! Because they thought that was the difference. My eyes were open to what was done for both of us. I was like that too before. When I was young as a Christian, in our fellowship then, Friday, there was on Friday, they call it deliverance service. 1 o'clock to 5, they are still there. 6 o'clock! So what is your name? Say, my name is Geisha. Say, where do you live? In the pot. Where do you come from? Under the sea. Say, ha, 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 woo, ha, woo, ha. I was wondering. Yeah, I was wondering, what's going on here? But you know, we were the younger believers, so they don't allow us to move that demon, so. So I was wondering. And I was with eight brothers, healthy brothers, and one small sister like that. Say, come out! Several hours. I said, well, there's something wrong here. Something wrong. And you know, when we watch all these movies, those ones talk once. All those abalis. Once thing happens. But believe it, they'll be praying and praying. Have you seen those movies? When they want to do evil, it does it once. When they want to change it, they will now say, you have to fast for 10 days. When God wants to walk, he does it longer. Devil, circle of an eye. It's true. What is it? What is it? They call him and they say, hey, Peter! Peter! The guy just shows up and says, no! Gee, gee! That's the film mode. But the guy dies. Through knife and mirror. Or has sickness. He's sick. So he takes him to one church. I said, I know who is behind it. He's devil. There's no revelation behind that. He's devil. You don't have to see vision to know he's devil. Say, he's your grandmother. And then your auntie. Say, but don't worry. There's nothing our God cannot do. The guy is there. The God has not done anything. Say, can you fast? 14 days. They will keep coming. I will give you Psalms. You'll be reading them over his head. Then you pray over water. Maybe the 20th day. Then maybe the second day, as the guy's getting well, some bulls don't appear. Shh, it's getting better. Shh. And one angel now says, no, you can't stop it. He must get healed. You know. It's because you have watched those films so much, that's why you can't cast out demons. If you allow the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to what Christ has done, you cast out demons easily. Amen. You know, I asked one time, I said, I went to church, I said, have you ever cast out demons? But nobody raised their hand. I said, why? And they all neatly dressed with their feet. You've not cast out demons, you're wearing suits. Are you serious at all? You're running from demons. Bible says they are under our feet. Praise God! Hallelujah! Christ is in you. The Christ that rose from the dead is in you today. Praise God. He walks in me. He lives in me. Hallelujah. See, I'm tied up with deity. I'm one with God. Hallelujah. I'm in union with God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Say that again, come on. Hallelujah. Today, we are brothers to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Brothers. See, the four Gospels, he had servants and disciples. In the epistles, we are brothers. Brothers. You know, we say brothers in Christ. We are also brothers of Christ. Hallelujah. You are my brother in Christ. But we are brothers of Christ. Are you following what I'm saying here? Look at Hebrews 2. Praise the name of Jesus. In Christ realities. You like this? Hebrews 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Got so many stuff this morning, I hope I can exhaust it. Hebrews 2, verse 11. You there? Can we take it together? For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified. Now, who is sanctified here? Alright. So both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are what? Are all of one. Now, for which cause is not ashamed to call them brothers. Now, who has the amplified? Yes, that are all of one is not a good translation. Thank you. Watch this. This says, For both he who sanctifies, making men holy, and those who are sanctified, have one Father. For this reason, it's not a change to call them brethren. So you and Jesus have the same Father. Now, if you have the same Father with someone, who is that person? Your brother. Is that not true? So, who is Jesus to you? Is your Lord, no doubt. Is your Savior, but is also your brother. I love a song by Rick Farms. You're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are my king. I like that. You're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are my... Why is he our friend? A friend is the one who shows revelation, fellowship, shows revelation. Why is he our brother? We have the same nature, we have the same Father. Why is he our Lord? Because he saved us. He is everything to us. Praise God. Jesus is everything to us. He's our friend, and he's also our brother. He's our Savior. He's our sanctification. He's our wisdom. He's everything. There's nothing we need and will ever need that Jesus hasn't done. Praise God. How does that sound to you? So he's our brother. So we're not just brothers in Christ. We are brothers of Christ. See what it told Mary. John 20. Run there. John 20. Hallelujah. John 20. Wow. I misquoted something earlier on. It's John 20, 17, not 28. I mixed that up with Thomas. I'm sorry for that. John 20. Touch me not, verse 17. I am not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. See that? I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God. Why did he say my Father and your Father? So you know that we have the same right with the Father. Our Father. Now we are brothers. By the death of Jesus Christ, we are brothers with him. We are family. Amen. We are family. Praise the Lord. See, the church is a family. By the way, I want to say this. You know, there was someone who had this issue. The pastor had this news about the pastor and stuff like that. So he was a minister under the pastor. So he walked away from the church and he said he doesn't want the guy's bad PR to stain his integrity. I asked him a question. I said, if he were your father, earthly father, or your brother, would you walk away from him? He said, no. He said, but this is different. I said, you are correct. This is a higher relationship. It's different. He's your brother. Whatever mess is in it, get in with him. Because we're family. Family. And I told another pastor like that, that took a member of his church who did something wrong and went on the internet and talked about it and did stuff like that and made noise about it. Even got the police. I asked him, I said, if he were to be your son, would you do that to him? He said, no. So he's not your son. See that? There is a relationship we have in Christ that supersedes earthly relationships. You know why? Jesus will never condemn us or expose us or convict us because we're family. See, we're family. We're in the same family. Amen. We are the same household. Have you tried a few visa forms before? They fill your family members. If Jesus were to fill visa forms today, he will fill your name. Praise God. So who are your brothers? He will fill your name. If he were to give something to his family, nobody on earth who is a child of God will have something greater than what you will get. Because you are in the same family. Look at Ephesians 3:14. I bow my knees, Paul says, unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, the family now, in heaven and earth is named. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Praise the name of Jesus. Verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit. Don't say one Spirit. Unto the Father. Let's read verse 19 together. Everybody. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Hallelujah. So I'm now a citizen. Amen. Have you traveled abroad before you come back to the country? You know, they'll say, hey, you know, when you go to the UK, you go to the US, and then they say, foreigners, this way. Now I observed how they treat foreigners. You go there, and they ask you, why are you here? Well, I came to see my cousin's brother's auntie, how long are you staying? Where's the address? Where's the phone number? They ask you questions. What do you do? And all that. Someone asked me one question. Said, what do you do? I told him. Said, where's your ID card? I said, it's not here. I said, well, I could as well be in the Kingdom of Africa myself. I said, relax now. I don't have my ID card here. I said, right, you get it. You know, they ask you questions like that. I observed that. But the foreigners, they just go. They flash their passport, and they go. Flash their passport, they just come, and they just go. You can't ask him questions. This is his country. Praise God. You know? All right, but when we come here, now our turn. So you just take your passport, pam, 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 or they ask some questions. Somehow they don't. But you know, it's your country now, so you just go. It's so confident, you're already calling people, hey, where's the car? I'm already here, I'm leaving now. But the foreigner, they still have to accept him at the border. Now you are a citizen. Hallelujah. You got the mark, the passport. What's the passport? In Christ. Hallelujah. You got the passport. Right? You are in Christ. Amen. The blood was shed for you, so you got the passport. So what do? You just flash it. Praise God. Amen. You just flash it. That's the passport. Praise God. Because everybody's passport carries the same color in Christ. Amen. Everybody was qualified the same way. Colossians 1:12. See, everybody was qualified the same way. Everybody was born the same way. Everybody was born the same way. Amen. By the same Spirit. So we flash the same passport. Not as some people say, as some people pray this, I say, Lord, that at the end of our lives, you will count us worthy for your kingdom. So sad. What do you think? Listen to me. You are praying. Is answering you. Are you not? Doesn't that register in your mind that you're already worthy? You lift your hands, you worship, he accepts it. That shows you are worthy. Praise God. But people don't believe. They don't believe. You say, Jesus is coming the next 10 minutes. Some people just go to the toilet. Sorry, sir. Say, Father, no matter what, see, you know it is not me. God, no faith in me. I got faith in the blood. Hallelujah. So you just flash your passport. You are in Christ. He says you are a fellow citizen with all them saints and a member of the household. The word household there is the family of God. Hallelujah. So you belong to where? Family of God. Amen. We had an article years back for a new convert. We call it Welcome to God's Family. Welcome to God's Family. Everybody here is of God. So we're not just brothers in Christ. We are brothers of Christ. Hallelujah. Galatians 6:10. It calls us the household of faith. You know why we call God Father? Because He's our Father. Simple, right? It's not our area, Father. Ah, Father! Yeah. You know, Nigeria say, Father! Ah! Ah! Come for us! You see, that's not what we tell God. He's our Father. You know, my son doesn't come to me and say, Daddy, Dad! My Dad! You know, he just calls it easily, Daddy! There was one day I was sleeping. He said, Daddy, Daddy, come and see this. I said, what? He said, come and see this. I just dragged there. He said, see.
See, I can now charge my lead part. I said, that's great. Can I go now? I said, wait, wait. Come and see, there's music on it. I gotta sleep. Bible says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption that cries on its own, Abba Father. On its own. On its own. Praise God. If you get into your spirit, it talks to God effortlessly. Some of us do ceremony before we pray. You want to pray? You want to start singing long songs. Hallowed be your name. You are worthy, worthy, worthy. You are lifted up. Ah, Baba. They're trying to get to him, right? Something that... Oh, sorry. Let's go on now. I almost get crucified for that song soon. You know, but you shouldn't sing that kind of song. It's an awful song. Well, let's go on. You know, you don't know to say that. He's actually your father. Some of us have different views of father. You know, your daddy just come out of the room. Shagu! And you go, where are you? When I heard your voice, I hit myself in the face. Who told you were naked? Mommy. You didn't get that, did you? Alright, you go. Thank you. Yes, I go! So, or it comes home. It's coming home. Yes, sir. How are you? Have you finished your assignment? You think I'll waste all my money? See, I work hard. I want to waste my money. Yeah, that's not reachable. And your mommy says, welcome, sir, to daddy. Welcome, sir. Yes. Is my food ready? Oh, ready. Your mommy collects the bag. How was work? Fine, thank you. So, you know, you carry that impression to talk to the Heavenly Father. So, maybe the Holy Spirit is the mommy now. He's also saying, don't worry, I'll talk to you. Relax, I'll talk to him for you. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. Hallelujah. Just the way Jesus stands before the Father today, that's the way we stand. Because we are not brothers in Christ, Lord. We are brothers of Christ. Amen. The new creation is a new breed. Amen. Say we are a new breed. Say we are a new breed. Oh, let's rush on. We're a new breed. By the blood of the covenant of Jesus, by the redemption that is in His blood, Jesus has brought us into a new family. You are now a member of God's family. You are now a member of God's family. Look at Matthew 26 and 28. What does it say here? It says, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Praise God. Now watch this now. In the death of Jesus, which is the blood of Jesus, comes two things. We have remission of sins, forgiveness of sins. And listen to this. It's not forgiveness of sins when we sin. It's forgiveness of sins. So, forgiveness of sins is not when we sin. Forgiveness of sins is because Christ has died. And that forgiveness of sins becomes yours the minute you believe the gospel. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins in His blood. Ephesians 1. Verse 3, he says, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, who has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, verse 4, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. Verse 5 says, who has predestinated us to be adopted as children by Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says, who has accepted us in the Beloved
And he said, according to the riches of his grace, we have forgiveness of sins. So we have. Now, what do you have? Forgiveness of sins. When would you have it? No. You have it. How would you have it? You have it. Why do you have it? Because Jesus shed his blood. And if the blood was shed once, the forgiveness of sins is given how many times?
Once.
I have a series out there. Forgiveness of sins and what else? Repentance from sins. You need to get that material. Who was around when we taught that? Forgiveness of sins. What an expose. Pay attention to those details in there. Forgiveness of sins and repentance from sins. Alright? So, look at what happened to us. So the blood was shed and we got the benefit of the blood. Forgiveness of sins comes to us. Then we're brought into a new family. The new creation. Now look at Hebrews 8. I won't have time to delve into what I want to talk about today because I'll just mention some things that you need to see. Look at Hebrews 8. There's a twofold work that Jesus did. There is a redemptive work that carries our sins, our past, our failures, and there is a new creation. The new creation is now what we have become. The redemptive work deals with our past. The new creation is the life and the Spirit of God in us today. And you see, we need to move from the revelation of redemption, revelation of the blood shed for us, revelation of forgiveness of sins, to the new creation reality, where there was no past, where there was no sins to forgive, where there was nothing to deliver from. Because the word being born again is the word procreate. It means to be given birth to. And we give birth to someone, he's got no past to refer to. Who's following what I'm saying here this morning? Praise God. But that's not my subject today. Look at Hebrews 8. Don't forget this during the week. I want to show something now. Hebrews 8. Run there. Run. Hebrews 8. Are you there? Verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for the second. Verse 8. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. This is Jeremiah 31:33. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 9. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, I regard them not, saith the Lord. Verse 10. Watch this now. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws where? In their minds. And write them in their hearts. Now, the old covenant, he wrote the laws on stones. In the new covenant, he writes them in us. That is, he gives us the capacity to do it. Alright? So, he writes the laws. He puts his word in our hearts. We are born of the word. Amen? 1 Peter 1:23, right? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the word of God. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us by the word of truth. So, the word of God is written where? On our hearts. See, I've got the word in me. I've got the word in me. So the word of God is in us. He says, I write them in their hearts. Put them in their minds. Follow now. So the first thing, the word. It puts his word in our hearts. 2 Corinthians, check that again. Chapter 3, verse 6 to 7. It puts the word in our hearts. Not because we are the epistle of Christ. Remember that? We are the epistle of Christ. So we are born of the word. It puts the word in our hearts. 2. He says, I will be to them a God. And they shall be to me a people. Now watch that. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to them to me a people. Now whose choice is that? Oh, talk me now. Whose choice is that? Come on, whose choice is that? So God chose you, didn't choose it. God chose, I will be to them a God. So there's a relationship that comes from that. God now becomes your God. You know what the word God means? I tell you. The word God there doesn't just mean somebody worship. It means someone who is there for you for everything. I'll be there for you. I'll be there for you. Now the Jews understood that. I'll be there for you. If you need a friend, I'll be there for you. If you need a healer, I'll be there for you. If you need a provider, I'll be there for you. I will be there for you. And you will be to me a people. That means I will have an obligation towards you. I will be committed to you. I will put my name on you. You will bear my name. I will be to you a people. So the new covenant, number one, the word of God is in us, right? In the new covenant. So we do not, oh, I hope this is, you can get this. So we do not actually, you don't find, we don't obey the word. We act on it. Hallelujah. There's a difference now. You obey laws. Amen. You obey. Oh, you don't do this. You do that. You obey. But when it comes to who you are, you act on it. You walk in it. Amen. So the word is in us. One, two. He says again that he is our God. We are his people. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. He says, which before were not a people that but are now a people of God. We didn't have mercy, but now have the mercy of God. Said he has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light to show forth his praises. Can you say amen? So here we are. We are called his people. He's our God. Amen. Verse 11. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. I love this. What does he say? For they shall all know me. Hallelujah. From the least to the greatest. Praise God. So what do we have again? We have revelation. Amen. We have revelation. See this. Bible says, for eyes had not seen, ear had not heard, neither had a man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 and 10. No wonder. Galatians 4, 9. Paul says, for after that you have known God, or rather you are known of God. See, I'm known of God. See, I know God. God has given his revelation to you. Look at John 17, 3. Come on, run. John 17, 3. John 17:3. Thank you, dear. John 17:3. What does he say? Everybody, come on, run. This is what? That what? Woo! What is eternal life? Huh? That we may know God and who? Whom he has. Okay, so what's eternal life? To know God. Eternal life functions in us to know God. Say, I know God.
I know God.
Hallelujah. Go to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Verse 20. Can we take it together? 1 John 5:20. 1 John now. 1 John 5:20. Let's go. And we know. Let's go again. Come on. And we know that the Son of God is come and given us an understanding. I have an understanding. That we may know him that is true. That we are in him that is true. Even in this is the true God and eternal life. See, I know him. See, I know him. Hallelujah. What comes to the new covenant? Revelation. Now you know God. God unveils the truth to you. That from the least to where? The greatest. Now, if they will know me from the least to the greatest, that means I brought the least and the greatest into a place of same identity. Everybody knows God. Praise the Lord. Look at the last one. Hebrews 8. What's the last one there? Verse 12. Are you there? And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. And their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. What else do we have? A gift of no condemnation. I will remember no more. So in the new covenant, we have a complete cancellation of sins. God does not deal with us again. See, God deals with covenants. God doesn't deal with you outside that covenant. It will answer your prayer because Christ died. It will listen to you because Christ died. It will heal your body because Christ died. It will lead you because Christ died. Because that's his covenant. The old covenant says, I will do, then God will do. The new covenant says, God will do, so I can do. Hallelujah. See that? God has done so that I can do. That's the new covenant. We have the gift of no condemnation. So what do we do now? We have to look at Jesus and all that he has done. We're in a family now. Praise God. We're in a family. A family of God. He's our Father. Amen. He's our Father. Praise God. We're His children. Amen. We're His children. One of the things the New Covenant brings to us, let's start again. One, the Word of God is in our hearts. So we don't obey, we act, we walk in it. Right? We're not trying to do the Word. Right? Because we're born of the Word. We got the Word in here. Number two, what else do we have? We have a relationship. He's our God. Right? What does that mean? He's everything we ever want. He's our God. We are His people. Number three, we have revelation. That is equal access to understand and to know God. Number four, we have the gift of no condemnation. Hallelujah. Seen that? The gift of no condemnation. 2 Corinthians 5:18. It says, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're in the family of God now. Hallelujah. Bible says the Spirit cries out, Abba Father. Hallelujah. I love that song. We are here to praise You, to lift our voice and sing. We are here to bring the best that we can. Watch that song very well. Pleasures and delight,
they're springing from my heart.
Hold on a bit. I want to point something out.
Everything in me declares, Abba, Father.
Watch that now. Come on.
You've helped us now to bring.
So praise is not struggle. It's helped us to bring Him.
All the pleasures and delights. Every